I remember that next morning. Holy fuck. I could have shot the sun down. I was like, how dare you? How dare you come up like it's just another day, you know? It's the biggest part of who I am now. It's everything that I am, and always will be. When you lose everything that's important to you, you find that those things are the only thing of value. Your money is not yours. You will get it when they allow you to have it. Wow, this is a very unpleasant experience I'm going through. I could have made a heck of a lot more money if that would have been in Bitcoin, and I wouldn't have to deal with any of this shit. It becomes a prison. I have such conviction in Bitcoin that I don't care what it does in the next year at all. Here's a little dude that, you know, he's still in the womb. He doesn't even have a social security number. Society doesn't even recognize him yet, but he's already stacking sats.
Today, I'm here with Freeborn Farmer. We're going to be discussing changes in your life and what led you to Bitcoin. He is a farmer, and I'm really excited to hear about how he lives. It's really nice to have you here today. Thank you for speaking up, and thank you for asking me to be on the podcast because you do have a journey that you want to share with us.
Yeah, thanks, Stacy. First of all, I've just, you know, ever since you started putting your podcasts out, I've been listening to every one of them. And one of the things I love is just all the different, you know, directions that people come from to Bitcoin. And there's so much to learn there. And just all the different ways of knowing that really do add value to the Bitcoin journey for all of us. So that's just been fantastic. I've got a real kind of like circular mind. I don't always move very linearly, and I might connect things that don't always seem well connected, but hopefully at one point or another it'll come back around and make some sense. So
I'm a lot like you too. I feel like that's what I love about this podcast is that our conversation takes these tangents, but they're all connected to the original story. And then we do kind of circle back around. So thank you for saying that. And I think that's what makes it fun, you know, just having some real talk and just letting your mind take you where, you know, your thoughts want to take you. So I love that.
absolutely. A little about myself, and I'll just go ahead and start off with some like circular logic here. You know, I started really getting involved and interested in kind of radical, you know, self-sovereignty through food and, you know, just my possessions and things like that. About 10 or 12 years ago. And that's when my wife and I started getting, we got into dairy goats and we started milking goats. And, you know, that just really opened our eyes up into this whole different level of kind of responsibility with animals and really like caring for other things. The quality of food that came from that endeavor was just immediately recognizable, and it led us to kind of wonder, you know, what else can we do to improve our lives and to increase our self-sufficiency in that way. And so pretty quick after, we got into meat rabbits, which I think are just a fantastic thing that just about anyone can get into. They hardly take any room, and they're really a lot of fun to have. So we had goats and rabbits and a big garden and bees for a long time. And
Well,
really learning about bees, like they've got such crazy social setups and hierarchies and communication. I started really digging into bee social structure and just learned a crazy amount about this kind of hive mentality and you know, this kind of instant communication across a social system. The
go ahead.
communication that they have and like speaking through dance and pheromones and all of that, it just really brought my awareness to this whole nother dimension of perception that's not really available to us humans, or maybe it is available and we just don't choose to engage with it much. And that's what I really like about some of these folks, especially in the Bitcoin army, that are just way out there on this heady stuff of like quantum mechanics and you know, the philosophical side of Bitcoin is really something that speaks to me heavily. And you know, I'll kind of talk about that as we go on. But it's just so fun how different people come at it from different places, you know. And for me, it really clicked with that self-sovereignty that we had begun to build. After starting out with those goats, we were living in Montana at the time, and then moved to Wyoming, which is where my wife and I both went to school. We were just excited to get back here. We ended up with more acreage than we had, and we decided to start getting into cattle. And so we got a couple of milk cows, and then that herd just grew. And now we've got about 20 cows, probably about 30 goats. So we built that goat herd up. We've got a similar amount of sheep. I don't even know how many chickens we have. They just kind of free range all over the place. We get a lot of eggs from it. But it's fantastic. And it gives us just a lot to do, a lot to care about. I try to share a lot of it on X. You know, I think people just enjoy it. But for me, it was also, I started out on X trying to figure out how to catch up with like these Bitcoiners. You know, they're also economically smart, and they're talking like, you know, all this math and, you know, just the whole economic ideals and like the science behind that. And I've never really been interested in that stuff so much, but I tried to fit in that way. And then after a little bit, I was like, you know what, this isn't even valuable to try to fit in how other people already know. It's like, I'll just share what I do and connect those, you know, ideals to Bitcoin. And on a philosophical level, they really match up pretty well. So that really changed my whole way of engaging on X. And I think it, you know, I started getting a lot more followers after that. It's like, people just want to see authentic thoughts and information. And, you know, that's the best people to follow. And that's who's in the Bitcoin army. And, you know, it's just been awesome learning from people like that and contributing myself.
People do want to see authenticity. They actually want to see what your life is like. You know, they want to know other Bitcoiners and what they are actually like. We don't have to be a cookie cutter version of, you know, a financial specialist, you know, like some of these technical analysis traders that we kind of like watched over the years. We actually just want to be ourselves and show that we are regular people that understood Bitcoin. And your philosophy and how you got into farming and how you enjoy doing that is that proof of work idea too.
Absolutely. And, you know, my Bitcoin story, I've been trying to think back leading up to this visit with you, just to kind of get my time straight. But I first converted fiat to Bitcoin and sometime in 2023. And, you know, that was the first time that I ever really invested money into it. And it was purely just as an investment, like anything else. Like, for a long time, I've just had stock portfolios and, you know, an IRA and things like that. And to me, just like I said, I never got into really the financials of those investments. I would learn about those things and make sure that, you know, the investments were sound. But for me, it was always a way to kind of see where society's going and like, where are we reaching out as like a global community? And so I was really involved in like, you know, NASDAQ heavy tech stocks and things, because I just felt like you were 10 steps ahead of the general population, just knowing where we were going. And, you know, some of these startups, it's like, we're not there yet, but it's coming. And then it would come and you'd be like, shit, I knew about this years ago, you know. And
you see something happening, but it's that fear of taking any sort of risk to like actually believe in yourself that your ideas are valid.
Absolutely. And I think everyone has a time when, you know, they kick themselves for not picking it up, you know, when they first heard about it. And I remember back in the mid 2000s, a friend of mine telling me about Bitcoin mining. And I was too busy, you know, being an idiot back then to really jump on it. But I think about that all the time. And that guy's name was Matt Becker. I haven't talked to him in forever, but if he watches, get in touch, man. I wonder how your stack's doing. I wish I'd have joined here from the get-go. But even that, it's like people say, you get Bitcoin at the price you deserve. And, you know, I started out just diversifying my investment portfolio through Bitcoin. where I'm at now is I've gotten rid of that diversification, and you know, I'm a full-on Bitcoin maxi outside of my, you know, those tax deferred accounts, and even those are largely into you know, strategy and, you know, different things that are kind of Bitcoin focused. So I just see so much promise in it. It's been a great thing, and getting on X was really the only place to learn about it. You know, it's being just shadowed by any of the mainstream information. And I think, you know, the conversations you see on X have plenty of ideas about that, but I really do believe that's a deliberate effort to keep people out of it until the price is, you know, really just unaffordable for most folks. So I'm glad to be in while I am, for sure.
Yeah, it's great that you actually, you do find that truth on X. You do see people teaching about it on X. You don't see it promoted really too many other places. So it's definitely a place for seeing truth and seeing real people post about real things that are going on in the world. And it's the people that see what's going on financially in the world are talking about it. You can actually find that information on X, and you can teach yourself and find communities like ours where, you know, you hear from everybody, like all different types of stories. You know, if you don't know much, you'll learn. People have to want to find it. You can't just sit in your little bubble believing everything you're told.
A lot of it's just, you know, it's inflated values. It's very much what you hear on the news. And what we've seen in just the past couple of years, you know, after COVID and then just this past week, it becomes a prison to people. You know, you're planning to retire and everything's in these markets, and then they drop, you know, 10 to 40%, whatever it is. And now you're working another couple of years. And it's like, this was supposed to liberate you, not enslave you, you know, to your job and to the markets. And that's where Bitcoin just offers this promise of, you know, people talk about decoupling, but, you know, I think the fact that it stands so strong in relation to these stock market crashes these days just shows the potential of it, and that already there's a different mentality that's starting to move around from, you know, all different levels, like the real grassroots and the institutional ones too. It's really impressive. Sometimes it's confusing why it doesn't move more, you know, but I think a lot of us, there's plenty of talk about that. And, you know, it's a healthy thing, really, this little waiting period. And, you know, those of us who are excited about the potential just see it as an opportunity to, you know, accumulate more while we can. Because it will go back up, and it's going to hit all-time highs again, and not too long, I'm sure of it.
It is this calm before the storm.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I like best about the Bitcoin community, and I really adopted it quickly after, you know, divesting from those traditional, you know, stocks and mutual funds or ETFs, is just this, really, like, we just get thrilled when the price goes down. You know, it's like in the stock market, people just like act like the world is ending. And, you know, with Bitcoin, everyone just celebrates. And it's like, oh, hell yeah. Like, I'm going to stack hard today, you know, and I just love that. It's the total opposite. And it just shows you, like, Bitcoin is not an imprisonment like the stock market is. It's like people have faith in it, and it has value, and we all know it. And so the lower that price is, it's just more opportunity to build your stack before that next upturn. So that's just so unique to the Bitcoin crew, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of it. The days it's down are some of the best and most fun on X. It's just hilarious, the stuff that people post.
Like, we don't care either way. If the price goes up, we're happy about it. If the price goes down, we're happy about it. That's what I love about the Smash by Saturdays community too, because people, a lot of times they were just thinking about it too much. Like, should I buy today, tomorrow, in a week? Will it go up or down? Be consistent, focused on just stacking more Bitcoin. You're stacking more of more sats, you know, and you are just excited to be able to see other people buying it. So even if you are one of those people that are second guessing yourself on when's a good time, will it drop more, just keep averaging in.
I always like to say that, you know, people will ask how big a stack or do you have enough, and you know, I always just say I've got more than yesterday and less than tomorrow, and that's just where I need to be.
Yep. Yeah, I love that. You always want to just keep converting it into something stronger and something that can't be stolen from you. So we feel empowered.
You know, and that empowerment's so huge. And, you know, that's something I see on X and the discussions of, you know, that especially in the Bitcoin army, just these people who are converting their fiat into this and, you know, going to their jobs and working to be able to increase their stacks. It's, you know, these people, they discuss it as a store of value, but also a reflection of the value in their lives. You know, and you can see that everyone has, you know, it's family, it's community, it's the future, you know, looking ahead, looking forward. And, you know, what I really liked about the Bitcoin standard just was that the discussion of a low time preference, you know, and how tied the Bitcoin way is to that, and how much people who invest in it really practice that in their lives, you know, and they realize that it's a long-term journey that we're on. And, you know, you've got to act in the short term with the thought to the long term. And that alone is the opposite of, you know, our global economic system that is so short-sighted. And, you know, we have just moved into the highest time preference kind of stage of human evolution. And you can see how weak that is. You know, we don't build nice things anymore. We don't make nice things anymore. It's just all about instant gratification that is usually just addicting behaviors, you know, and addiction is like the biggest indication of high time preference. It's like, I just need this feeling or this thing right now. And it'll immediately, the joy and satisfaction will be gone immediately, you know, and just drive more consumption. And, you know, that again, Bitcoin is just the opposite of that. And, you know, we see people just saving like crazy, you know, people saying, I'll just hold this forever. It'll go to my grave with me kind of thing. And, you know, and the ability to do that too. It's really a liberating ideal. And, you know, I've never met so many people who just take so much pride in removing value from circulation, you know. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
I want to kind of transfer into your story. You told me a little bit about it, but I want you to tell the story. It went from you realizing what's really important in life. A lot of people would resonate with your story. So I want you to, you know, kind of walk us through that. And I know it's a difficult one to tell, but I want you to kind of tell us how you realized what's valuable in life and how that kind of translates to Bitcoin.
Yeah. Thanks, Stacey. Thank you. Yeah, like I said, you know, I had started out, you know, getting into Bitcoin just as another part of investment and, you know, just always wanting to just kind of build a store of value for the future. That was in 2023. In 2022, so a year before that, my wife and I, we had our first child, a little girl. So she, you know, as soon as anyone knows, as soon as you see that child, you know, that first time, I mean, in my mind, it was like, I immediately was just like, I didn't know what love was, you know, as soon as I saw her and felt that feeling, I just knew whatever I thought love was before. It was like, no, that was just a, you know, that was like a shitcoin version of what it actually is. And it was just so, you know, empowering, and it changes your entire way of looking at your life and, you know, what is the point of your life. And for me, having the farm, I mean, it was immediately like, this is my daughter's, like everything I do now is to maintain value here so that she can one day have this and, you know, and make her own way through it. So, you know, with that, you know, I wanted to make sure that she had the ability to, you know, to make something for herself. And, you know, so I wanted to start a little investment account for her. You know, and I talked to the grandparents and like what kind of account, and, you know, there's education savings accounts and things like that. But I was kind of worried about that because you see all the time, like what does society value as education? Like if my daughter wants to go to a trade school when she's older and learn to weld or, you know, learn to lay tile, whatever it might be, I didn't want that money to be only accessible for a 4-year college education. You know, what if in 18 years, that's the only thing we call education or something like that. So I wanted to make sure that, that she had the ability to use that money however she chose. And you know, whether it was like I said, look into a trade, or, you know, maybe she wants to just buy a flock of her own sheep or something like that, you know, and just really whatever you're good at, you should just follow and, you know, follow your dreams that way. So I put that into just a custodial account instead that was very open-ended and just allowed me to, you know, manage it until she's old enough to, you know, take that and do what she wants with it. So that was something that I did to, you know, set her up for the future and also ensure that what I've built could pass to her and you know, be a part of her life going forward. So I did that. And then, so that was, you know, 2022, 2023, I ended up buying Bitcoin. And then, you know, managed that account, managed that wealth, and just had this idea that, you know, well, my life is just set, you know, this is just the way it is. And you know, you look forward and you just have these images, you know, in your head of things to look forward to and all that. But last summer we lost her in just a tragic accident on the farm. Excuse me, let me just gather myself for a sec.
Yeah, it's okay. Thank you for your, you know, bravery to speak about this too. I mean, it's like I have 3 kids of my own, and you know, you first told me about this, and I, you know, you told me something that was really special. You said hug your kids a little longer, you know, just appreciate them. And you know, I understand, but I don't understand. You know, I feel like I could try to understand your pain, but I really can't. You know, I feel like you don't know until that happens to you. And I am sorry that I didn't know what the situation was, how you lost her. And my heart is beating for you right now. You know, I feel for you. So take your time.
Yeah, it was very unexpected, very sudden. I mean, I went to work and then got a call and, you know, raced home, and my entire life had changed, you know, just immediately at that time. But, you know, for me, what I noticed, everything of value was just gone in my life, you know, right then. You know, and that day, it's like I would have burned every dollar I've ever seen. I'd burn my house down. You know, I was like, there's nothing. Everything that the world tells you is valuable can just had nothing. There is no value to that at all. It couldn't do me any good in the situation that I was in. And the one thing that I lost was, it was everything in the world to me. I mean, anyone who's watching that has kids, it's like, you just gotta just go and give them a big hug and laugh when they annoy the heck out of you. And, you know, just, I mean, I'd do anything to be up at 2 a.m, you know, to deal with the screaming kid right now. I'd give anything for it.
We get distracted in real life about things that we think matter. Thank you for even wanting to talk about this. Thank you for being honest. You know, thank you for sharing her story, because she is, you know, your world. You know, even though this happened, she continues to be your world. You know, you do everything, you know, and I feel like the same way how we're all, I feel like a lot of the spiritual side about, and sorry, my mind's going in tangents right now too. The way that you see things about Bitcoin that remind you spiritually and remind you about physics and all these things that happen in the world that we don't understand. I think that this energy, this connectedness, this hive mind sort of thing that you were mentioning, the pain of life is so hard. I don't believe we ever lose anybody. You know, I don't believe that they're ever really gone. I just believe that we are here to experience something. And I feel like maybe your soul and your journey was here to experience, you know, something like this so that you could understand what every aspect of life is. You know, she's always there with you. You know, even though you can think these things, it doesn't mean that in that moment you could ever conceive of thinking about it that way. You're hurting. For you to keep going and for you to not fall into a hole.
Well, yeah, that day, I mean, I'll remember forever every second, like every second of that. And, you know, the reason I wanted to share that and, you know, and mention that to you before is, I mean, it's the biggest part of who I am now. You know, I couldn't tell a story without that being a part of it. It's everything that I am, and always will be. But, you know, there's so many opportunities to learn and to grow that come from this. You know, I believe that every experience in life is an opportunity to learn. And the more energy that is involved in those experiences, the greater potential knowledge or, you know, life-changing experience can come from it. And I just, you know, to me, that's just one of the most high energy experiences that I'll ever have. I mean, you know, I'm a person who can sit and say that I have had the worst day of my life, and I know it. I mean, without a doubt, I've been through that. That night, I mean, my dad got calling grandparents and stuff and telling them that it was just horrible.
Oh my God.
But you know, my dad came right up. And my wife and, you know, we were all here. And I mean, it was just a dream world. You know, first of all, we still had chores to do. You know, after that happened and like the ambulance and everything was there and they left and it was all, you know, over. And the coroner had to take her and I was ready to get arrested. I was like, you were not taking her. And I finally let down, but I was just like, I will fight right now. But they all left and we had to go and milk cows and we had feed animals and we, you know, and all this stuff. And actually, like, we had a cow that calved that day. And so, like, right after my daughter had died, I was carrying this newborn calf out of the field back to the barn. And, you know, just all of it was just so strange. And I just remember I told my dad and my wife, I said, you know, I haven't really decided if I care to, like, live any longer, you know. And I was just like, there's nothing you can do. It's like, I just have to make that decision. Before the morning, you know, and I was just, that was kind of where I was at. Like, I just didn't really know if I cared to go on.
You have your wife and you're thinking about her pain and it's like, you're in this together, you know, and you're feeling a certain way. She's feeling the same way, you know? So it's like, even if you feel these things, you feel like you're also thinking about what she's going through. So it's like, you can't just decide to quit, you know, in a way, you know. Oh God, go ahead. So that night,
well, I like sat there deliberately and consciously, like, figuring that out. And, you know, I decided, like, you know, that no, for those exact reasons. It's just like, you know, my dad can't lose a son and a granddaughter, and, you know, same with my wife and just everyone. And also that if you're going to make that decision, then you got to fucking do it, and you can't half-ass it, you know? And so I decided that night that, you know, I would live for my daughter and just make it worth it. And so that was the decision. I remember that next morning, holy fuck, I could have shot the sun down. I was like, how dare you? How dare you come up like it's just another day, you know? And it was just the most, like, surreal and aggravating thing to just, like, see that another day could just start just like any other day.
Well, just because also you're thinking that because the day that it happened, you know, you had these responsibilities on the farm, you have these animals to take care of, you had an animal giving birth that day, you know, you have these things that you need to grieve and you need to have this time for yourself, but instead you still have this responsibility in these animals that need care and, you know, the corn and everything going on that needs care. And you have yourself, you know, you have to go out there and do these things. And the next day happens and you're thinking, okay, now I got to get up and continue to work. You know, what happened to, like, you couldn't take a day off.
It was crazy. And same thing that next morning. I mean, we've got chores every morning and every night, and we had to get up and do them. And, you know, and in reality, having all those animals that needed us, it gave us a continued purpose. I mean, I know full well that if I didn't have the farm, which is a life that we believe in and a life that we built for our daughter and a life that contributed to her death, but it's, you know, it's important to us. And having those animals that demanded that we get up in the morning and, you know, at that point, just go through the motions, I would not have gotten up, you know. And when you don't get up, you just get weaker. And so, you know, our farm forced us to be strong. It forced us to stay on our feet. We sure didn't manage it as carefully as other years, and we dealt with that all winter long. We had piglets like being born all year and just all kinds of stuff because we just didn't really have the management down so well after that. But going back to like that next morning, it's like we woke up, had breakfast, and we have a county road that kind of cuts through the middle of our farm, and a lot of neighbors and just people in the community use it. And that morning, there's like, you know, you could see it was like a cloud of dust, like coming from like a mile away. And our neighbor comes like screaming into the driveway, like full speed ahead, and like slams on the brakes and gets out. And he had lost a son, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, like a teenager. And as soon as he heard, you know, he came running over, and we all cried and talked and hugged, and, you know, and that was just amazing. And then like we were doing chores, and anyone that drove by would stop, and same thing, you know, like tough guys, tough ranchers, and, you know, small town rural folk, and every one of them would, you know, just break down. And and then our, you know, we're just so lucky to live in a small town like ours, because the community, like, they set up a meal train, you know, and every day we had people that would come over and bring us food and visit with us for a little bit. And, you know, and they did that for like 2 weeks. We didn't have to think about any of that stuff. And you also find out that you're just not alone. You know, there are a lot of people. I mean, there's a guy that lives around here, and he had a daughter that passed away at a similar age 35 years ago. And he's like, you will never feel any different than you do right now. You know, this, you're going to remember every second of that forever. And I know that, and I wouldn't want it any other way, you know, at this point. Like, I need to have that in my life. But what really came from that, you know, the initial lesson was just like that strength of community, and like, you need people in your life. And what came with that as well was this, you know, we have people telling us all the time that, you know, we're praying for you, we're thinking for you. And I've had kind of a struggled relationship with religion all through the years. And I think a lot of that's because you kind of attach it to these established, you know, belief systems and things. And I always had trouble with that. I found that like you can connect with God or whatever that means to you in your own way, but it is, at least to me, it is essential to have that. And people telling us that they're praying for us, that they think about us, that they're there for us, there was a tangible value from that. We could feel it. my wife and I. It held us up.
That's why when you said that, I tried to compose myself, you know, through the story. It was definitely, I feel it. Like, I feel it through the, you know, us talking. Like, I feel the lightheadedness. I feel the pain, you know. I feel just all these feelings taking over. But then when you said that part, I got very overwhelmed, because, you know, that really speaks like all the way through to here. You know, when you're telling me what happened and how these people came together and showed you their support and shared their similar pain and their stories, and, you know, you're not alone in this pain, it really just shows you that people are good and people care for each other and people have gone through similar things. And life is not easy. You know, life is full of surprises, not in a good way always, you know, but you having that support, it just means so much.
There wasn't anything a neighbor wouldn't do for us, you know, and even still, but there right away, the outflowing of support. And like I'd mentioned to you previously, you know, what that showed me were these things that we would say have no intrinsic value, or, you know, there's nothing tangible there. When you lose everything that's important to you, you find that those things are the only thing of value. That is all that you have in your life. And without that, none of your material goods, none of those tangible, you know, stores of value mean anything at all. And I'm not going to jump to Bitcoin yet, but, you know, that idea of what's valuable and what's important in life, it changed just so completely through all of that. And I know that those things that are intangible sources of value are sometimes the only thing that matters, you know, and that's always an argument against Bitcoin. Now, what was just wild, and, you know, with this like kind of newfound belief system that I came with, it's, you know, like you said, I need to believe that I will see her again. And I do believe that. Here in Wyoming, we're really fortunate that I'm allowed to do a burial on my own property. And I'll tell you, one of the hardest things in my life was borrowing a neighbor's backhoe to dig a grave for my daughter. But I did, and we laid her to rest out there. And, you know, my wife and I, we go out every single night and, you know, visit with her.
I mean,
it's say prayers.
Yeah. And you know, how lucky are you that she is, you are able to have her there so you can visit every night and you can, you know, say your prayers, and you it's very special, because not a lot of people have that opportunity. When I talked to you about that, that's why you said that, you know, this is your life and you will never leave. You know, your daughter's there. You know, you're never going to be moving from this farm. This is your life.
I could never leave. Yeah, that nothing will pry me away from this place. And, you know, every single night I go out and I talk with her and let her know what's been going on. But then I pray, you know, and what I pray for every night is, you know, first strength and support. I also always just pray for, you know, the ability to be gracious and understanding with others, and just kind, you know, just because everyone's got problems in their lives. And I just don't want to be someone who can't understand that, and I don't want to add to people's problems. But also, like, I ask constantly, like, you know, and I ask for inspiration. Just guide my interests so that I'm going after the right things. On my farm, you know, I always, like, I want to do the best for the environment and for nature and my animals and for just a really healthy relationship between humans and the world. I mean, that's always what I've been interested in. And I ask for inspiration to guide me on that. And with that too, at the same time, this is when I started, shortly after, this is when I started really like getting a lot of interest in Bitcoin. And then got on X, and at first, you know, like I said, just dabbling around and learning a little bit. But in my mind, and don't anyone put too much weight on this, but it was shortly after I started asking for like inspiration, like guide me, show me, you know, how to support my family, and, you know, how can I be the best for, you know, this planet and with what I have, which I'm so grateful for. And so I don't ever say that, like, you know, God told me to buy Bitcoin, but it sure as hell did start becoming a much more front and center piece of my thinking when I started asking for inspiration. Is like, where do I need to be going? How can I establish security for my family? And, you know, how can I remove this like just economic stress from my life? And so I do feel that there's some amount of divine. Now,
building on what you just said, and I haven't really talked about this much, but it, I believe you, because when I lost my grandma, you know, it was 2019, and I started getting into Bitcoin in 2020, but I feel like that whole year was so painful for me, because then I had to, you know, my kids were very close with her, and I had to tell them and break it to them how she is gone, you know, and to describe that, you know, what I believe, like. And I really got more into I was actually looking up videos about near-death experiences and actually like what's after this, and just trying to find out more about, you know, the Bible, because she was very much into the, you know, the church. You know, she was like a weekly church goer. And I thought, you know what, I understand the stories, but not really. So I wanted to find out more throughout time, and also to give my kids an explanation, because I wanted it to feel like I actually believed what I was telling them about where she is now. I just didn't want to think, oh, these are the stories I'm told. I want to actually find out about it. And I took more of a deep dive, and it took a while. Like, her losing her was painful for me, and she was 93, you know? So it's like, but just having that happen, I felt like I got more connected with spirituality, and I felt like I would pray more often. And it was about a year later when I got into Bitcoin, but I feel like I remember thinking about the same things. Like, COVID happened. It wasn't like I was praying because of COVID, but I was praying because I'm like, wow, you know, things are pretty scary right now economically. I have three kids. I'm like, if I didn't have these kids, like, wow, like, I would be, I guess, I pretty much understand why people second guess having children in these days, because it's like hard to manage and hard to get ahead. So I think I was praying for an answer as well. I was thinking a lot of, I don't do it as much now, but I was praying constantly. And I feel like those thoughts and those ideas, somehow it started to make sense to me, you know? So I believe you, I 100% believe you. And I don't feel like it's, because I think that when you pray, you think about what is the truth in this world. You're looking for answers. You're looking for truth. And you need some sort of, when you do believe that, when you, especially when you lose somebody, it kind of opens you up to the idea that, no, they're not gone. Yes, they can hear me. Yes, this energy is everywhere. I am praying to God, or whoever's listening, to whoever you lost. And I think I was praying to God or to my grandma, you know, I was actually just like talking, you know. And you feel like you have this intuition, and you feel like, you think, with, when you start to understand that, it's almost like you start to look, you start seeing this, the things you've been hearing about for years, all of a sudden you start to like pay attention to those things. And it's like, you're asking for this guidance, but then all of a sudden your mind is open to the idea of something like Bitcoin, which is a truth-based system, not with all the lies that we face, you know, in the fiat world. But when you're trying to figure out, how do I survive? How do I help my family? How do I move forward? All these questions that we ask, I feel like it does lead you to open your mind to it. And it's because it's a truth-based thing. It's like, God is truth, the universe, you know, all these things that we don't really understand, but somehow I 100% believe you.
And it's one of the things I really like about Bitcoin is, You know, like you said, it's just a, it is truth, you know, it's math, and there's no ego involved in the Bitcoin chain. You know, I'm sure maybe some people bring their own to it, but you know, in and of itself, it's a leaderless, decentralized store of value. That's it's very pure and simple that way. And yeah, I think there's truth to it, like you said. One of the things that really turned me into the full-on Bitcoin maxi that I am now, was, you know, after losing my daughter and settling, you know, letting the dust settle on that. Oh, I mean, she was 18 months old. You know, you had just gotten Social Security, like you just did all this bullshit social stuff, and already you're like now trying to back that out, you know, and every bit of that was so difficult. But you know, I had this custodial account that I had set up for her, that I had put my money into. Grandparents had put their money into it, but it was in her name, and I had to inherit my own money from my dead daughter. And it took months, and it was miserable. Every step of the way was just terrible, you know. And it's like one of those things that everyone says in Bitcoin: not your keys, not your Bitcoin. Your money is not yours. You will get it when they allow you to have it, and it'll be on their time frame. And going through that process of trying to get that money back, and then being taxed, you know, inheritance tax on it as well. It's just like, this was mine and I put it in my daughter's account. It was
Right.
terrible. I also realized, you know, that I had done pretty good with the investments I had in that, but if I'd have put all of that into Bitcoin, you know, I'd have bought it at like 35 or 40,000, and it'd have been up to 110,000, you know, just a few weeks ago or a month ago. And so on one hand, I said, wow, this is a very unpleasant experience I'm going through right now, trying to reorganize this money back. And on the other hand, I could have made a heck of a lot more money if that would have been in Bitcoin, and I wouldn't have to deal with any of this shit. It would be sitting on a cold storage wallet, and whoever I gave that to would then own it.
Yeah. It's kind of like a
So
big like F you to them, because it's like you're going through what you're going through. You know, this is very, very hard, and it's like such a big centralized system that you have to go through all these jump through hoops. You are not in the freaking mood. You know, you don't have the patience for it. It's painful. Now the money that you put in, now they're taking some of it. And it's like this was for your daughter. And there's no human really like aspect to deal with and say, listen, you know, help me out here. You know what I mean? Like, look what I'm going through. Look what happened to me. Look what happened to her. You know, and it doesn't matter. You're just another number in the system. You know, wait your turn. It doesn't freaking matter to anybody. So it's like you taking control is a really big, like, just I'm sick of you. You know, it's like I want to be able to you know, control my own time and energy that I, you know, you spend this time and energy putting into work to save for her. You want to be able to have access to it whenever you want, you know?
yeah. And that right after that, so you know, some really good news is, you know, we're expecting a son this summer. And so just couldn't be happier. It's like such just salvation to us, and it's just gonna be amazing. But you know, that
So this is
money
your first.
that
This is your first. You don't have any other kids then. This is your first child since. Okay. So that
Yeah.
picture that you sent me. Oh, I thought you're okay. I love it.
Yeah, that was my little girl. She was our first, and now she'll have a little brother. But
I
that
love
money
it.
that was set in her account, you know, I inherited all those stocks and they went into my account. And you know, over the next about a month, I mean, I sold every stock that was in my
Real
account
quick,
and hers.
I just want to tell you that when you sent me that photo, I felt like I misunderstood. I thought you said you were expecting another child, and I thought that was another one of your children. I didn't know that was actually her. And I thank you for sending that photo to me. And I just, it means so much. And thank you for sharing that. So I just wanted you to know that I didn't mean to be not responding to it in a way. I just thought, oh, you know, that's a nice house you have there in the background. So I just wanted you to know that. Thank you for sharing that with me. You know, it means a lot.
You bet. Yeah. Well, and I knew that we would have a, you know, I wanted to have a personal conversation, just like I, you know, we started on X. It's like, it's gotta be authentic. And, you know, that's really what has value, is that authenticity. And if I was going to share that with you, I just want to make sure that you knew where I was coming from.
You're expecting your son in the summer, and, you know, he is going to be something that, you know, what happened with your daughter, it's also these lessons, as hard as they are, they teach you that, you know, you can have a future for your son. You can, you have found an answer. You found a better way. You also appreciate those moments that you're going to have with him, the staying up late, the, you know, all the things that happen when you have a child that you maybe didn't really realize. Again, you were, you know, people think about what's really valuable in their life, but it's like you, because of his sister, because of his big sister, he's going to have the best parents in the world. You know, you are going to appreciate every second, you know, and you know, it's hard to think of it that way, but he's lucky. You know, he's very lucky already to have parents who have found this answer. And, you know, even though you would have burned everything down to get her back, you also feel like this is a incredibly hard life lesson, and what you went through that led you to create your family, like keep going, have a son, you know what I mean? Live your life, appreciate everything. And I feel like she's shown you the way, is what I feel.
It's just like I started, you know, with when you first see that child and you understand love. I mean, it, for my wife and I, it was, it, the whole that is in your heart, like, is unfillable without children, you know. And so that was just so imperative to us, you know. I mean, and the life that we live, it's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of time, and, you know, it's valuable because of the ability to share that, you know, with future, with children and future generations, and to, you know, try and set something up that's, you know, not only you know, doable in the future, but enjoyable, so that someone wants to do it too. And so that, you know, that's just so important to us.
The amount of bravery that it takes, not only for you to, you know, get up every day you know, take care of the farm, and to find your, you know, to pray and to actually listen and to actually try to, you know, connect that way, and also to have the bravery to, even though, like, you realize that having another child, it would help you have that, more of that purpose, but also it is brave to think that some people might just be scared forever, you know? So it's amazing that you're like, you know what, this is the next step. We need to move forward as a family and not have that fear, you know, and just, you know, it's just amazing. It's, I love it.
Every day is, I mean, it gets easier, but every single day there's like a real conscious and deliberate choice to, you know, not be angry or resentful or bitter about things. And you just have to like choose love, and you have to love those around you and accept their love too. You know, it's the only way, at least, you know, for us, you just have to do that. And like I said, it does get easier, you know, each day. It's not as much of a like, okay, I'm not going to be angry today. You know, you just kind of do it. But, you know, that's, I've definitely gotten more active on social media. Like, I just wasn't even on there for a long time. And that's what I try to do on social media. It's like, I just try to support people. You know, I love learning about things that I'm probably not ever going to learn much more about personally, but the fact that other people are into it, I think that's awesome. I love seeing things or reading things that other people are into. And I just really try to just like spread support, and just some love to people on there.
And
And
how
so many
special is
people have
it?
done the same.
Yeah, it's so special too that, when you were talking about wanting to listen to the podcast and you wanted to hear people's stories, a lot of people can't listen to YouTube because when they shut their phone off, it stops playing. So when these now that these podcasts are available on Spotify and all that stuff, I feel so happy that you can go and do your work around the farm. Your daughter's there, you're taking the community with you and you're listening to their stories and their ideas. And it's so more meaningful because not just you have the community of, the people around you in the real world that come to support you, but then you have people that you can connect with who you're hearing more about them and learning more about them. And it helps you pass the time, and do your work and understand that you have a bigger community that you even thought of, or could have thought of. So I feel so happy that you can and enjoy, not that you can just listen, but you enjoy listening to other people. And I know that they're going to enjoy listening to you and it'll help people. And I'm happy to be able to, and thank you for, again, reaching out to me and wanting to share this because I think it's so powerful. And it's just it's an honor, to have a person like you and your wife in our community. And yeah, so continue. Sorry, I just wanted to get that out.
Well, I sure appreciate that, Stacy. And, for me, one of the things that it's done, like I said, when I tried to shift from like meeting people on their ground to like, sharing my life and how it connects to Bitcoin. And, as the season comes on, I'll try to do a good job of like documenting the whole, spring to fall rotations, which is when things are really exciting. But, sharing that and having the feedback from folks that they like it and they're interested in it. 'Cause at first I was like, it's not really Bitcoin stuff. Everyone's talking
Yeah.
about, economics and blockchains and mining and nodes. And I was just like, what the fuck are these things? I don't even know. But people have taught me, which is awesome. And like now I'm like,
Yeah.
I drive like a 1960 tractor and inside I've got like a Bitcoin node going. And I'm just like, those memes where the dude's like got all the electricity shooting out of him. I just feel that way. But, it's awesome. And what it's done for me is it makes me look at my own activities, in a different way with maybe a little bit more appreciation, for my own activities. And, I take more photos and things to be able to share them because it's easy to just kind of
Yeah.
slog. Any of us can just slog through a day and not even really. You just go on autopilot and just kind of do it. And so it's been really fun for me to kind of step back and try to make sure that I share these things and people all the time, like they'll respond and I love that. And people, it's like you'll get people telling you, it's like, oh, you're lucky and man, you have such a great life. And I agree. I'm like, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed in my life. Even with that tragedy, it's just like that's just life. And my wife and I, we have had to be there for each other, and like we have become so much stronger. And that decision to choose love over hate, that's a super important one, I think, for anyone to make that decision.
Well,
We
that's what
were
I think this whole proof of work thing that you that's your life there is this proof of work and Bitcoin is this proof of work with the mining and knowing that your story of the chain your time together with your wife and the hardship you've gone through it just you can kind of make these parallels with Bitcoin being attacked so much over the years and getting stronger with every attack. It's like you guys have been attacked, this pain could have taken you down, but instead you got stronger together. You've supported each other and the network supports itself and grows bigger and stronger. And with these attacks, it's just I feel like I like to connect these parallels to the way this network works and this community works and this the way that the way that it's growing is a lot like how your marriage and your strength and your family is growing.
I've found so many parallels between Bitcoin and my life, and it just furthers my, you know, bullish outlook on it. I wouldn't even almost say I have a bullish outlook. I have such conviction in Bitcoin that I don't care what it does in the next year at all. You know, I've stopped even hardly looking at the prices, and I just engage with the community around it. And it's, you know, and that just reminds you that it's like, this is not going anywhere. You know, this is where you break down, you know, that power structure that really works to just keep all of us grinding away for their benefit. And I tell you, having a farm, the parallels between how you care for domestic animals and how humans are managed in these economic systems, it's not even a metaphor. I mean, it is just, it's analog, you know, it's the same. And it's sad to see it, you know, and I've posted on X before that, you know, one of the laziest and least respectable ways to manage animals is through fear and, you know, like fear and aggression. It's a lazy farmer who does that. But you see that being how they choose to manage populations all the time. And it's just despicable, you know, in my mind, to see these power structures work like that and to keep people down and to, you know, celebrate death and destruction. It just makes me sick on a daily basis. And it's just those things that I refuse to really be a part of. Like, I just can't, you know. We grow a heck of a lot of our own food. I mean, when we go to the store, we'll buy like some root vegetables and like some flour and stuff like that. But we mostly try to eat what we grow. You know, we try to make our money, you know, through sales of farm produce to our local communities. And, you know, and we really believe in the nutrition and the lifestyle that it comes from, and that it's a benefit to those people. And, you know, all these experiences that I've had, and, you know, and my distaste for the, you know, the traditional economic system, it all just really lines up to, you know, wanting to build strong, supportive communities and to just be a supporting factor for others in those communities, you know, and just we all can rise up from each other's support and care. And that's just so important. And I just see Bitcoin as really doing that, you know, from the initial intent of just, you know, peer-to-peer transactions. And that's something that we're trying to do more on the farm. We'll be going to some farmers markets in Laramie, Wyoming this year, and, you know, we'll have our son with us there, and we'll be trying to accept Bitcoin from whoever would prefer to, you know, exchange in that way. And who knows, I mean, on some hands it might just be an experiment to see like how many people even know about this, and, you know, those who do, how many are willing to, you know, spend it on just, you know, mundane transactions that way. So it'll be just kind of like a little social investigation, but, you know, also an opportunity to talk about it. And just, you know, to me, it's just about creating like a really like whole life, you know, where everything kind of matches up. Try to remove hypocrisy from it as much as I can.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, your entire outlook on things is like from, instead of that fear, you know, with the animals, it's about love and it's about taking care of them instead of just scaring, and like you're tired of the fear mongering and that entire space of the way the world works that feeds off your negative energy to keep you scared and keep you down. Where this new system of the food and the natural food, it's a truth-based system where you want real food and things that are good for you and things that will help you and give you nutrition, and, you know, not just full of fake. Like, we're just about truth and real stuff and not about fake, you know, ingredients and fillers and companies that want to hurt us, you know? So it's like, you're just sick of it. You know, I feel like a lot of people are just, we want out. But yeah, it's like, you're just, you want to, you know, you envision this future, you have hope, you know, you have your, you can see your son there with you doing this stuff. You can try to do it as an experiment to see how many people even know about this thing. You know, how early are you still, you know? But I love that that you're doing that. I love that, you know, you are putting in the work and you're, you know, just, it's an amazing thing. And I love the community that you have and the community you have with us.
Yeah, it's really been a valuable thing. And, you know, I'd name some, but I'd have to just name everyone if I did. But, you know, all the mm-hmm. folks that I engage yeah. with, and there's just, you know, the ones especially where you ask a question and then, you know, you go on to direct message and have an actual conversation. And, you know, that there's a lot of opportunity on there. And there's so many people who are just really caring and kind. You know, the more involved you get, the easier it is to access those instead of just like porn bots, you know, that make up like half my followers. So I'm thankful for them. But, you know, they're not as fun as the real people.
Right. No, they're just how your trade's going and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you feel about the current market?
I know, it's crazy. But I love this this entire community that even when you find people on X, it's like, as much as I love hearing from everybody in these podcasts, I love it so much. But I also am amazed at the people that even larger accounts that decide to join me are so humble. You know, it's like this community is so different from most, you know, you wouldn't have that, you know, you from other people. I feel like everyone's just looking to help out and support each other. And they're very down to earth, you know, that egoless kind of, you know, personality is so rare, you know, and it's different in this space.
Yeah. Yeah. I really value that. And, you know, I'm just, like I said, so thankful for, you know, discovering Bitcoin and finding my way to these communities that, you know, support my conviction in it. It's just, that's just fabulous, you know, and I think I definitely would have kept, you know, it as a diversified investment, but I wouldn't have gone, you know, full maxi like I have. And even if I had done that, I might have been encouraged to, you know, sell some on these downturns. But, you know, both through the excitement and the information, you know, I feel like I have both quantitative and qualitative support for, you know, HODLing forever, really. And I just love that, you know. I always am talking about like panic buying and you know, just being like an irresponsible hodler and stuff like that. But it's really the way, you know, I just, anytime people are freaking out, just try and scrounge up to get a few more extra sats. And then, you know, just about my son, what I think is one of the things that's so cool is, you know, that custodial account, it got liquidated and, you know, months later liquidated and put into Bitcoin and moved right over onto a cold storage wallet. You know, now I've got $5 every single day going into that. And so, you know, here's a little dude that, you know, he's still in the womb. He doesn't even have a social security number. Society doesn't even recognize him yet, but he's already stacking sats and has like a pretty decent little start going already. Yeah, I just think that's so cool about it. You know, it's like, it's total freedom. And
yeah, you can do it from before he's even born, before anyone even knows about it. You know, it's so amazing. And I love it. I love that you, you know, you're doing this for him. And I love that it's her, it's together combined. It's hers and his together. And it's just, it's a really beautiful thing. And it's just like, you're the coolest farmer in the whole world, probably. So hopefully there's more farmers like you that are into Bitcoin, but this is just really amazing. And I am so glad again that you reached out to me. I can't wait till people hear about your story and hear about your struggle and your bravery and the way you overcame this, you and your wife together, and you know, the support that you found through people in your life and through people on X, and just the way you found Bitcoin, the way you know, it came to you and you realized, you know, that it's the way to go. And I know it will inspire other people. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stacy. It's been a lot of fun just being here with you. And also, I've just always, like I said, I've enjoyed your podcast, but also, you know, from the get-go, you were like one of those like cool people on X that was like, oh man, this girl really gets it. So I've learned a lot from you. And, you know, just as kind of like a final thing for folks, from what I've been through, like my only advice is don't take things for granted. You know, if you got kids, go give them a huge hug right now and tell them you love them. But also, you know, it's things are never going to line up perfectly for you to meet, accomplish your dreams, you know, and if you wait for that, it might not ever happen. So, you know, go after it right now. Like, make sure you can take care of yourself and your family. But if you can, and you can make a big change that brings happiness and fulfillment to your life, that is what it's all about. That's the only thing that'll keep you going in a, you know, in a life-changing tragedy, is just the realization that, you know, you've tried to live your life the best that you can. You know, no regrets. That's really important.
Yeah. And I want you to know that last night when I was thinking about our conversation coming up today, my daughter is 9 years old. She's not a baby anymore. We haven't really putting them to bed. We don't really lay with them anymore. We're just like, okay, go brush your teeth, go to bed. And we're kind of tired at the end of the day. We're like, you guys have been noisy. You know, it's like you guys either argue with each other or whatever happens. And I'm like, just go to bed, you know? And I haven't laid with her for a long time, but last night she did tell me, you know, she wanted me to lay with her. And she had seen a picture of my father-in-law, who we lost recently. And she had seen a picture of him when he was younger. And she just, when she thinks about that, like, she goes, I just really wish you could lay with me tonight, because that just makes me think about him more. And I'm just kind of sad. So I went and laid with her last night, and I laid with her for a long time, and it was the sweetest thing. And I was thinking about you and your story, and I appreciated it, because you take things for granted. You take for granted the time that you know, you're just like, oh, I'm exhausted, I don't feel like it, you know, but you should appreciate all those moments when you get them. And I did think about that last night. So thank you for putting things into perspective too, because we do forget.
Thanks, Stacey, for sharing that. That's awesome.
Thank you. Well, I look forward to sharing this. Hopefully I can get it out there pretty soon, but I've got a little lineup going and I can't wait to put it out there for people. I know they're going to love it, and I can't wait to talk to you some more. And thank you so much. Like, just the feeling is incredible, and I'm just so happy to have you with us.
Thanks, Stacey. Yeah, glad to be here.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.